Maybe we should take a week off every couple months or something. That was really rich sharing. I was really blessed by that. But I want to talk about my sweater now. You guys like my sweater? It's nice, isn't it? Maybe later. Think about my sweater. I really like winter for this reason. I like to wear sweaters. I kind of like the way they look, but also they keep me warm. And this morning as I left my house, I had to put a coat on top of my sweater because it was too cold for just my sweater. But the thing about sweaters is they can't keep me warm by themselves. What a sweater does is it helps me keep what's already in me there. And that's a little bit what I want to talk about this morning. And I'm glad for the sharing that we had, and a lot of people alluded to the 42 days of prayer. And I want to just tell you that the 42 days of prayer is just a sweater. The things that God is doing in your lives are not a result of the devotions that you're reading. They're not a result of the fact that Manny writes these things every week that we read and we spend 30 minutes or an hour with God every day. That stuff's already there. God's already at work in your heart. This is just a way for us to put a sweater on that, to incubate the things that God is doing, to be intentional about looking for that stuff. So we've gone through 28 days of devotions, or I've written 28, 14 left. And I want to tell you, it's been a journey for me too. I don't read them every day because I write them. And so I tried for a little while and it just wasn't for me. So I'm doing my own thing off on the side here. So when you come to me and say, today's was really great, and I look at you with kind of a puzzled look, it's because I don't know which one you read. And that's okay. But I was really reminded this week, as I'm reading a book for class called So Beautiful. But a lot of times what happens with the books that are for class and that are required reading is God really just opens up some cool stuff. And I told the professor this week on Thursday, I said, man, where was this book 3 months ago? And so you're actually going to see some of the stuff from this book in this week's devotion and probably in next week's too. But man, it couldn't be more timely. And you know, I say it all the time, but man, how God just puts stuff together just never ceases to amaze me. And the purpose the goal behind this book, the book called So Beautiful by Leonard Sweet, is to really bring the church back to what it's supposed to be. And his three tag words are missional, relational, incarnational. And it's kind of a chic thing going on in the church right now, and these three words are kind of the popular going phrase. But if you remove all the stuff that comes with them and you get down to the core of what the church is supposed to be, the body of Christ, the community of believers, the assembly, the ecclesia, it's the relationships we have with Jesus Christ and with one another. And that's what we're tapping into on these 42 days of prayer. We're spending time with God that maybe we haven't done for a while. Maybe we haven't been this intentional about spending time with God for a long time. Or maybe we're doing it in a new way and it's opening up new ways for us to see God at work in our life. And as a result of that, we're having better relationships with one another. We're comfortable sharing what God's doing in our lives. And as Charlene said, hopefully that continues to build. And when you do come together and there's a burden on your heart, the freedom to share that with one another. And when you do come together and God is doing amazing things in your life, the freedom to share that with one another in community. And the community will continue to grow. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about John chapter 15, if you want to turn there. We've been here a couple of times, but I want to look at it from a little bit different perspective this morning. Jesus and his disciples had just finished with the Last Supper in the upper room. And so I want you to imagine with me, if you want to close your eyes and just imagine this, I encourage you to do that. So they just got through eating, and they walk down from the upper room, and they're walking through town. And all the while, Jesus is teaching, and this is the time where he tells them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and many other things. He's teaching them as they walk. And they come to the edge of the city, and they come to a vineyard. And they start walking through this vineyard, and Jesus is still teaching, and he notices a branch laying on the ground. And I like to imagine that Jesus bent over and picked up that branch, and the disciples stopped, and they kind of gathered around him in a semicircle, And Jesus starts to say this. He says, I'm the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they'll produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. This was a very intimate time between Jesus and his disciples. He had already talked about his betrayal. He had already talked about his denial. This was just a pure moment for him to kind of leave his last bits of wisdom to his disciples. And as he's walking through the vineyard and sees that branch laying on the ground, it kind of clicks in his brain. He says, this is what it's like. This is what it's like when you're not connected with me. It's like a dead branch laying on the ground with absolutely no purpose. And what happens with the dead branches? We pile them up and we burn them. These next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking and praying about the church. We spent the first 2 weeks on our individual spiritual lives. The next 2 weeks, we're on our family and the spirituality within our family and our homes. And these last 2 weeks are about the church. Not Bangor Liberty Friends Church, although a lot of this will play out in this part of the larger church, but about God's church. Because we don't come to church, we are the church. When we leave this place, it's not church anymore, it's just a building. It's only church when we're gathered together in God's name. Branches on a grapevine have one purpose, to grow grapes. In order for the fruit of the vine to become reality, every vineyard has frames that support the branches and enable them to grow the best grapes. Sometimes the frames are made of wire, sometimes wood. Sometimes they scaffold the branches horizontally, sometimes vertically. The thing about frames is that they need to constant maintenance because of the changing conditions around the vineyard. Sometimes they even need to be torn down and completely rebuilt. If a frame collapses, it can sever the branch from the vine. The purpose of the vineyard is not to build frames, but to grow grapes. The frame supports the grapes. So just like the 42 days of prayer can be compared to a sweater, it can also be compared to the frames in a vineyard. Now, I'd never been to a vineyard till I went to Luke and Ashley's wedding over the summer. I'd seen him from the road. But to be there is a different story. And these frames are huge. And like it says in here, I'm sure there's different kinds of frames. I'm sure some of the owners of vineyards really take time to make really nice frames, maybe that people go on tours through their vineyards and things like that. A lot of times they need to be repaired. Sometimes they're beyond repair and they have to be torn down. They have to be rebuilt. What does this have to do with the church? The purpose of the church is to make disciples. In order for the disciples to become reality, every church has frames that support the disciples and enable them to grow more like Christ. Sometimes the frames are made of traditions, sometimes of programs. Sometimes they consult the frames before everything they do. Sometimes they only revisit them when things seem to be going wrong. The thing about frames is that they need constant maintenance because of the changing conditions around the church. Sometimes they even need to be torn down and completely rebuilt. If a frame collapses, it can sever the church from Christ. The purpose of the church is not to build frames, but to grow disciples of Jesus that the frames support. These next couple of weeks, we're going to be challenged to think about church a lot differently than I think most of us have ever thought about it. These last few months, I've been thinking a lot differently about church than I've ever thought about it. I didn't really come into the life of the church until 20, 21 years old, years old, so 10, 11 years. And what I came into looks completely different than what it looks like now. And it's going to continue to change as our culture around us changes. The thing about church is that we have frames. We have things that hold together the work that God is doing. We have things like our yearly meeting discipline. We have things like the 42 days of prayer, like our hymnals, devotional, Sunday school material, music that we sing. Frames are anything that help us retain what God has already put there. The frame itself is not the goal, it's not the purpose, it's not the thing that we're here for. And so as we think about church over the next couple of weeks, and as we take to prayer some of these thoughts that God is unfolding in our minds, I really want us to seek out what it is our frames are supposed to look like. What is it that God's doing in our midst right now? What needs to change? What needs to stay the same? What needs to be completely torn down and rebuilt? The purpose of the church is to make disciples. The frames are supposed to support that. And if the frames that we have in place are not supporting the making of disciples, then it's time for a change. The church is supposed to grow by multiplication, not by addition. If we're not multiplying, we need new frames. I read this chapter in Sweet's book that talks about the frames. And it's funny because I told you how I was praying for you guys a couple of weeks ago as I was on my way to Oskaloosa. And God was really speaking to me. He was really impressing, specifically faces of individuals in this room in my mind's eye as I'm driving. And I turned off the radio and I just sat there as I'm driving and I'm praying and I'm thinking about you. And all of a sudden, I get this thought in my head, Holy Spirit inspired, I'm sure of it. And it said, all these things are going on around us and we're trying to figure them out. And it's not just the personal things that I already knew about some of you that were going on, but it's about the world in general, about the political system, about the economy, about all these things that are going on around us that bid for our attention, that cause us to wonder, that we tend to put our hope in. We put our hope in knowing what tomorrow is going to bring. We put our hope in that our job is going to be there when we wake up in the morning and that we're going to be able to afford to put gas in our tank and food on our table. And then pretty soon my mind switched and the Holy Spirit just said, my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. We shouldn't put our hope in anything else except for Jesus. Because once political systems fall, once the jobs are done, once the economy is up or down or sideways or whatever way it's going to turn, once our cars no longer take gas, the only constant is still going to be Jesus. I walked in here last August, almost 2 Augusts ago, and I told you that God was going to do something amazing. He's doing it. Did you hear the things that you shared today? Have you seen the things that he's done in the last 2 years? It's just the beginning. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. If we strip everything away and start with that foundation and continue to build on top of that, you ain't seen nothing yet. So I want to close with just a little preview of what the next 2 weeks are going to hold. I told you, you're going to be challenged. I'm challenged. I want you to the best of your abilities, I know this is hard because we're human, but forget everything you think you know about church. Forget everything you think you know about ministry. Forget everything you think you know about Bangor Liberty Friends up until this point. And with an open mind, just ask God to fill us up with what church is supposed to look like, with what ministry is supposed to look like, and what each one of our roles is within that ministry, because each one of us has a role. I didn't hold anything back this week. There's going to be some pretty hard truths in some of these things, and as I wrote them, it was like a punch to my stomach. So I'm sure as you read them, it's going to hit you pretty hard too. But I pray that as we process this, and as we come to the end of our 42 days of prayer, when we gather together for that last service, when it all ends, and I'll give you a sneak preview, I'm not preaching that day. You are. We're gonna see the culmination of what God's been doing in our hearts and in our lives, and we're going to get a glimpse of where we go from here. Because I think we'd be perfectly okay in the world's eyes to keep doing what we're doing, but I don't think that's what God wants. So I'm excited, anxious, a little bit scared. But if you're with me, let's do it. You pray with me? Father, I just want to thank you again for the awesome things that you're doing in our lives, for the challenges that you're laying before us. Lord, for your protection. As I mentioned earlier, Lord, there's a lot of stuff going on in our lives right now, and I can't help but think that at least some of it has to do with the fact that we are taking time to be about you and about your business. Lord, help keep the distractions at bay. Lord, when things get tough, just remind us that our hope is built on nothing less but you and the things that you do for us and the trip to the cross that you took to conquer death, sin, and the grave once and for all. And Lord, remind us often that our problems in this world are going to fade away, but you're going to be there forever. And Lord, as we go through these next 2 weeks, challenge us to think outside the box, to not be a church that simply survives, but to be a church that multiplies, to be a church that brings your message to the world. My heart breaks, Lord, when I think about there's people within 5-10 miles of this church that don't know you. That's our mission field. So, Lord, as you continue to work in our hearts, help us to see the people that we can minister to even now. And as always, we'll give you the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.